What a joy to come together as God's people to worship God and also to draw strength from God's word. We thank God because as we come together, his presence is felt in a very powerful way. Dear friends, wherever you are joining us today, we just want to welcome you and we pray that during the season of Lent, the God who gives us peace will continue to be the Lord of our lives. As all of us are fully aware, we are in the season of Lent. Lent helps us to focus on the cross. We tend to focus on the depth, the beauty, and also the mystery of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the things that God is doing in our lives, my friend. You know, the word Lent comes from the Latin word called lenten. Lent reminds us that the days are getting longer. Spring is around the corner. And I believe when you hear the word spring, many of us are full of smile because we are just waiting for spring to come. It's a wonderful season. Similarly, Lent is a wonderful season. It's a season for spiritual growth. It's a season that helps us to reflect our life and also be connected to Him. It's a season that many Christians take stock of their spiritual walk with God. And what happens? They go into a period of fasting. They go into a period of extended study of God's Word because they want to draw strength for their spiritual journey. I came across a book written by Lauren Winner. She says, practicing the spiritual disciplines does not make us Christians, but instead, she says, the practicing teaches us what it means to live as Christians. So as we begin to experience our walk with God, we begin to understand who we are in our relationship with God. During the season of Lent, I want to spend some time looking at the songs of ascent that is found in Psalms. There are 15 songs of ascent that was always sung by the Hebrew pilgrims who were going to the road to Jerusalem. Three times a year, the Hebrews took a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. The feast of Passover is one of the first feasts that they will always travel. It happened during the springtime. And then during summer, they will go for attend the feast of Pentecost. And finally, the feast of Tabernacles in autumn. And so when they go on this journey, it's a powerful journey because it's a journey they recall the things that God has been doing in their lives. At the same time, they also take stock of what's happening in their life. It reminds them about also a lifelong pilgrimage as people of God. And so as we spend some time looking at this word today from Psalm 120, this is the first psalm that the pilgrims will sing as they start their journey. I want to entitle our theme for today as Beginning the Journey, my friend. And so let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time looking at God's Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who speaks to us. We pray as we spend some time looking at your Word, that you will continue to help us. Help us, Lord, in our journey. Help us, Lord, in our journey to draw closer to you. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen. I believe many of us are waiting for the time where the travel restriction will be lifted. If the travel restrictions are lifted, I believe many of us are looking at certain places to visit. We want to be away on a vacation. We want to go to the place that we always long to go and spend some memorable time there. Can you imagine, you know, you're preparing for a journey of that nature. You're so excited. Right? You're just waiting for the day. You begin the countdown. You're so excited. You pack your bags. You know, you want to make sure that you, every moment you are there, you want to have a wonderful time there. And so you're filled with joy as the day approaches. There is a lot of joy in you because you have been just waiting for that particular vacation. But when you look at the passage that was just written to us, or the passage that we just read, can you imagine this pilgrim who got permission from his authorities is going to Jerusalem to worship God? And this is one of the first Psalm they will sing. But he is singing a song which speaks about distress. Look at the words very carefully. You don't see joy in him. That's the impression that we get. He uses the word, you know, I cried to God in my distress. He talks about lying tongues. He talks about sin. And he says, woe to me. Can you imagine? He says, woe to me. And he also talks about people that he had been dwelling, people who love evil. And then he says, you know, I live among people who also hate peace, and they want war at all times. Can you imagine this person or this pilgrim is singing a song? Should be a song of joy, should be a song of expectation, but he is singing a song like a song of lament. Why? Shouldn't he not be excited about his journey, that he's moving into Jerusalem to worship God, the Lord who have led the ancestors in a very wonderful way? You know, it reminds us in a very spiritual sense that our Christian life is a climb. Right? As we go to God, as we come to God, as we take the journey to worship Him, we need to take stock of our life. And that's what is happening in this particular psalm. As we begin the Lent season, it's important for us to see where we are, what's happening in our lives. It's important, my friend, and that's what the psalmist is doing here. Eugene Peterson beautifully puts it. He says, we are pilgrims, but we are also disciples. Always moving and always learning. We're always moving. At the same time, we are learning the things that God has been wanting to teach us. The first thing from this particular Psalm 120, we realize that we need to be aware of human evil that's around us. We need to be aware of the evil things that is around us, my friend. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He says, in my distress, you know, the word distress comes from the root word, which means narrow. That means confined. It means you're closed in. You know, you tend to get the picture that the psalmist is feeling like the walls of his life are beginning to close in on him. He feels that he's been trapped. He feels that he's closed. There is no way out. He's frustrated because of the lying, the deception that's been around him. What made him to cry to God in distress? What has happened? Why he needs to cry? You know, when you look at the passage very carefully, he speaks to us that he has sojourned. In other words, he has been dwelling with evil people. He realizes, you know, when he starts looking at Jerusalem, the peaceful city, when his eyes are on God, he realizes the kind of world that he has been living. He uses two names here. He says Meshach and Kedar are two areas, you know, that he is speaking about. Let's look at the kind of people that he's talking about here. You know, in verse 5, he says, woe to me that I dwell in Meshach, that I live among the tents of Kedar. You know, when you look at the history of Meshach and Kedar, they were Israelites who have degenerated from their godly fathers. And they hated and they were contented. They contended against the faithful. They were always against the faithful. Firstly, when you look at Meshach, you know, this group of people, they were the descendants of Noah. Noah was a person who walked with God. At this time, the people of Meshach were just staying way north. In other words, north of Palestine. They were far away. Now, when you look at it very spiritually, they were like far away from God. They depended on the military might. They thought they have all the abilities, they had all the talents, they have the military might, and that is what is needed from them. They felt there is no need for God. They were far away from God. Have you ever realized we live in a world that are people who just depend on themselves, the things that they have, their wealth, their intelligence, their abilities? They were that kind of people, my friend. Secondly, when you look at the people, you know, he says, I dwell in the tents of Kedar. In other words, Kedar was the son of Ishmael. Ishmael was, you know, the son of Abraham. Can you imagine? Abraham was known as a father of faith. It was his descendants. They became nomadic people of the desert in the southeast. They were just wandering. No, they were just wandering in their life, nowhere. They were just going everywhere, my friend. They were not rooted. They were not stable. They were not taking stock of their life. You know, so the writer of this psalm is saying, you know, these are the kind of people I've been associating with. And he says, the time has come for me to stop, for me to reflect, and to see the kind of world that I've been living in. I believe many of us will agree that that's the kind of world that we are living in. The world that takes us from loving God. That world that tells that you can do it. You don't need anyone. You don't need God. God is not for us. That's the kind of world that we hear today, my friend. That's a kind of world that talks about immediate satisfaction, easy paybacks, and quick fixes. That's the world. You know, the psalmist was happily living there, but then when he sees Jerusalem, he's reminded. He's reminded that his life, the kind of place that he has been living. Difference is important for us to be aware where we are. The kind of place that we are living in. Are we aware that Satan is always trying to take us away? You know, it is important for us to take stock. Dietrich Bonhoeffer beautifully says, right, if you board the wrong train, it's no use running around the corridor in the other direction. You are the wrong train. And so it's important for us to look at, you know, how this particular psalm is teaching us. Maybe some of us will immediately say, you know, we live in a world, but we are called to live in a world of this kind. But the Word of God reminds us in John chapter 17, verses 14 to 16 onwards, that we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. This notion is always consistent in the teachings of the New Testament, my friend. And so as Christians, we need to be very careful. We need God's guidance. We need God's grace. And we should be very careful that we don't get deceived and we are not in a position to compromise our faith and our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are moments in our life it's a bit difficult for us to distinguish, you know, what is spiritual and what is worldly. We should always remember that we are sent to this world to be His light and the salt of God, my friend. You know, so the psalmist is saying in verse 6, he says, too long have I lived among those who hate peace. Dear friends, have you ever sat down and asked yourself the kind of the world that we live in? Sometimes, you know, there's a human tendency, we feel so comfortable. We feel so comfortable, we do not know what is wrong, what is right. And it affects our spiritual life. It affects our spiritual growth. When this pilgrim looks at Jerusalem, he realizes the kind of world that he has been living. And this world has not been helping him. This world is drawing him away from God. What is drawing you away from God? What is keeping you coming closer to him? Do we desire for the Lord? When we get up in the morning, what is the first thing that we ever do that tells us who we are? I pray that, you know, as we continue to look at this passage, we'll draw strength from God's word. What is the writer doing? You know, very interestingly, he teaches us some great lessons. One of the things, he looks at his life, the evil that's in the world, and then he realizes that he needs to look to God. And so he expresses his heart to God. He opens up his heart towards the God Almighty. He says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord. He says, save me, O Lord. Can you imagine? He did not just stop at a simple prayer. There are three things he's doing here. He's just calling on God. He's just calling. He's calling because he recognizes there is a need for change. He's not just praying, but his prayer is such, Lord, I need a change in my life. And I'm just pleading for you to show me a way out. That's the kind of prayer the writer is making here, my friend. He's praying because, Lord, I want to change. I want to live a life for you. I want you, Lord, to help me in my journey. You know, we all of us are praying. But I think, let me encourage you to pray like the psalmist. Praying, Lord, show me the way. Praying for a change in our life. And that's the kind of prayer he's teaching us. Secondly, you know, he talks about the people. He talks about people who have done evil to him. Right, in verse 3 and 4, he says, what shall be given to you? Right, what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue, warrior's sharp arrows? No, he continues to use words like that. In other words, he's saying, when he thinks of these people, the evil that they have done to him, the lying that they have done to him, the things they've done, they've tarnished his character and all that. He's just leaving it to God's righteousness and judgment. He says, Lord, I just leave it to you because you're righteous and you're a God who's just. But let me concentrate on your majesty, on your sovereignty, and to know that you are in control of everything. I believe in our Christian walk, you know, many of us would say there are people who have actually wronged us. They have given wrong advice or betrayed us or even done something in our life. But we need to live to God's righteousness and his judgment. That's what the psalmist is teaching. Thirdly, when you look at it, you know, he's looking to God. He's looking at Jerusalem. He's not only praying, but he's just walking towards Jerusalem, the holy city of God. So he teaches us another fundamental truth. It's not just praying alone, but am I drawing closer to God? Am I engaging myself in the things of God? Am I having the mind of Christ? Am I dwelling on the scriptures? Am I wanting to experience the presence of God in my life? And so this man is not just praying, but he's on a journey. He's praying and walking towards Jerusalem. That's the way I think we need to be expressing ourselves to God. How are we praying today, my friend? How are we praying? How are we dealing with the people who wrong us? Are we just leaving it to God? Where's our eyes today? Are we looking towards Jerusalem? Lastly, when you look at the passage, you know, he concludes by saying in verse 7, he says, right, he says, "Too long have I lived among those who hate peace." And he's verse 7, he says, "I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Lastly, we realize he commits his life to peace. So we are called to commit our life to peace. And that's what God wants us to commit our life to. In other words, he realizes when his eyes is upon God, he realizes, you know, that I want to live in peace. And that is what I'm aiming for. And that's what I want, even though the world wants war, the people around me are longing for war. But I want to have peace. I want to experience peace, and I want to be a person of peace. I want to be living a testimony where people can experience God's peace, God's joy in my life and also through my life. And that's the way, you know, the writer, the pilgrim is singing to God. "Lord, I let me not have vengeance, but let me have that peace." You know, dear friends, I think all of us are fully aware, peace comes when we are reconciled with God. When we are reconciled with God, when we say, "Lord, I need you." And the pilgrim reminds us that he is a person of peace, because he realizes his God is a God of peace too. At the same time, I think it is important for us to pray for the peace of the land. We should always try to work for the peace of the land. Jeremiah, when he writes to the people, to the exiles in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, right, then he talks about, he says, you need to work for the well-being of the pagan people by whom you live. And so, my friend, I think the Word of God reminds us, wherever we are, we should always realize that we have the peace of God. The God of peace is in us. And we are called to bring that peace, that joy, that hope in the lives of people. And we are called to be the salt and the light in a dying culture that we are living in. What a powerful call that God has given to us, my friend. And we are very special in the sight of God. And God wants us to long that peace, long to fulfill the plans that God has for our life. Now, let me conclude by sharing a story about a missionary who couple who were living in the United States. And so they were organizing a great gathering. So they invited some pastors from some poor country. And so when they invited them, they realized these pastors, they're new to this particular city. They were very strangers. They did not know what to be doing. But they wanted to see the place. At the same time, they wanted to go shopping. So the missionary, you know, wanted to give them that opportunity to be on their own. But then the missionary told them, you know, "If you get lost, you know, what do? You call my number, and this is my phone number. Call me, then I'll tell you, and then I'll lead you back to your hotels." Within an hour, to the surprise of the missionary, he received a call. Right? And the person said, "You know, I'm lost. I'm lost." The missionary replied, "You know, put down the phone, go to the street corner, find out the names of the two streets, and come back and tell me, and I'll tell you where you are and lead you back." In a few minutes, you know, the pastor reported through the phone. He said, "You know, I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk." He said, "I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk." You know, when I was reading this story, I was just reminded there are moments in our life we are in a crossroad. We do not know what to do. Where do we go? But let me encourage you. Let me challenge you, my friend. Go back to God. Let's return to God. Let's look at His scripture. Let's turn our eyes towards God, the God who gives us peace. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's always there to help us to give peace, my friend. The cross is the answer to every need of us. The cross is the answer to the world of violence around us. And Christ is the only one who is able to save us. Let's pray. Let's pray that throughout that season of Lent, we will journey looking at the cross and looking at His word, and the Spirit of God will continue to guide us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for reminding us, O God, as pilgrims. Father, our eyes have to be on You, because You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so, Lord, help us, O Lord, to examine where we are in our life, to be sensitive to the things that surround us, Father, to know whether they are helping us or not even helping our spiritual walk. But at all times, help us, O Lord, to look at You, to open our hearts to You, Father, and to always know that we are people who belong to You, and people who bring the peace of God into the lives of others. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.